We're back on Navigating the Cancer Maze. I'm your host, Grace Gawler, here today with Professor Brendan Coventry. Brendan, from your perspective, could I ask you to talk about the evolution and nature of cancer? A lot of people don't know what cancer is.
Well, cancer is a form from a genetic aberration that occurs that gives the cell the ability to divide, and it divides not in a normal way. I mean, many normal cells can divide too, so if tissue gets lost from a particular area of the body, then division occurs and normal cells replace those cells that are lost, and the tissue gains its integrity again. So this is a normal process, this process of division, but in almost all tissues, even tissues we didn't think division could occur in days gone past. But cancer is where the division becomes uncontrollable from the point of view that it replaces more than just the tissue, and it replaces it with abnormal cells.
Mm-hmm.
But cancer means a lot of things, and there's some wonderful studies being done recently that have looked at the genetics of cancer across the particular deposit of cancer in a single patient, and deposits that are metastatic that spread to other sites, and also deposits between cancer patients with the same general type of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And the genetics show wide variation. This is the real surprise. We thought the genetics would show a lot of uniformity between cancer types and also within the particular patient. So the genetics can vary a lot, and it really is aberration. And what happens too is that the mutations that occur to cause the cancer actually become this mutation upon mutation, so that bits of the cancer, parts of the cancer, and also the cancer deposits itself develop all these strange mutations, and this leaves us with the problem of cancer, and the fact that it can grow and invade, and for a lot of cancers spread. Not all cancers do spread, but most of them do, that cause the problems that we have and deaths of cancer patients. This is what's confronting us clinically.
Mm-hmm. So there are many opinions around at the moment on the influence of lifestyle, both in a cause of cancer, but also lifestyle changes being used as a treatment in the area of cancer medicine. Could you comment on that, please?
Well, we do know that life is a risky business, and so that you can increase your risk and you can decrease your risk. Just as you choose to cross the road, you can cross the road safely or you can cross the road in a dangerous way. And similarly, you can expose your skin to the sun in a safe way or a dangerous way, so that you can increase your risk. There's no two ways about that. By having excessive UV exposure, smoking tobacco excessively, and drinking alcohol excessively, being exposed to a range of environmental carcinogens like a range of oils and asbestos and a number of other carcinogens that are present in our environment, some of which we were only just finding out about. But there are ways to increase risk, and by increasing exposure to things that can cause genetic mutation, then you can increase the risk of cancer occurring. Mutation doesn't mean cancer, but mutation can lead to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Mutation has to occur in the correct genes in order to produce cancers. So some of these lifestyle factors are very important in increasing the risk. The interesting thing is, though, that not all smokers get lung cancer. Not all people that get exposed to the sun get skin cancer. And so, quite clearly, there are other factors at work here too there are protective factors. Cancer can run in families, for example. So certain genetics are more predisposed. We know that people that get skin cancer, if their skin is fairer, then they're more likely to get a skin cancer with excessive exposure of UV light. So this makes it rather complex. You know, what do we advise people to do and so on? The main thing is probably to avoid excessive exposure to all of these types of factors as far as possible, and also to have some sort of balance, because you need UV light, for example, affecting cholesterol in the skin to create vitamin D. So all of these things are really important, and it's very important to balance the risks as much as one can.
Mm-hmm. The terms complementary medicine, alternative medicine, we were talking before the show about innovative medicine, and I noted on an ABC Australia interview that you were invited to do yesterday that the presenter automatically said that you were doing an alternative treatment for cancer. This is a concept, I think, we need to really look at the changes in the naming of these particular modalities. Would you like to comment further on that?
Yes, I agree. Standard treatment is, of course, only standard as of today. We are going to develop new treatments. Now, those new treatments have got to come from somewhere. So we've got to have some level of research and innovation going on in order to develop tomorrow's standard treatments. And so we start off from somewhere. And so many of the treatments that we use today have come from nature. These were yesterday's grandma's treatments, yesterday's alternate treatments and complementary treatments and newly discovered agents. And they, if they stand the rigours of scientific testing and clinical testing, then they end up as today's or tomorrow's standard treatments. So we've got to be careful what we're looking at here. I mean, if we were to remove all investigation of any agent that was not currently used as standard, then we would stop innovation. Be as simple as that. Alternative treatments, alternative therapies for cancer have gained a lot of bad press because, of course, some of them are dangerous, some of them, a lot of money is charged for them, so they're very expensive, even to the point where people have had to sell their houses to fund it. Sometimes these alternative treatments can interfere with standard treatments or take people away from standard treatments. And as I say, they can be dangerous. So they've gained a lot of bad press. What many researchers are doing is trying to develop innovative treatments. They are alternative because they're certainly not what we're using today, because we're trying to make today's treatments more effective. We're trying to improve them. It gets a bit mixed up. Mostly alternative treatment is regarded as some of these unproven treatments that are sold in opposition almost to standard treatment. Out of those can come some interesting innovative treatments that will be used tomorrow ultimately and become accepted and standard. So we've got to be careful not to throw the baby out with the bathwater, at the same time to protect people from being unfairly taken advantage of in times where they're quite desperate. Complementary medicine is a slightly different term in that it's thought to be complementary to standard treatments. So that's been developed to sort of look at treatments that and try and describe treatments that are helping standard treatment or might be adjunctive to standard treatment. These definitions get a bit muddy, but I prefer to look at things like, for example, what we're developing, vaccine treatments and looking at different ways to deliver those vaccine treatments. That would, I would suggest, be described as innovative medicine. because we're trying to innovate. We're trying to create something that's new and different and better for tomorrow's patients.
Which leads me into my next question. The nature of melanoma, both as a primary and secondary tumour, and your background in this area. So can you describe to us more about melanoma?
Well, melanoma is one of the three main skin cancers that affects Australians and lots of other Western populations in particular. One in two Australians get a skin cancer of some type. It's a very high rate. It's the highest in the world, in fact, and shares that with the top part of New Zealand. It's a big problem in Australia. It costs us somewhere in the vicinity of about $500 million per annum for our government and taxpayers. So it's pretty massive, and that's a very conservative estimate. So it's undoubtedly a lot more than that. And when we start to look at the new treatments for some of the skin cancers, in particular melanoma, then of course that really starts climbing in terms of cost. So there's basal cell cancer, which is the most common, very unlikely to spread beyond the site that it's growing at. There's squamous cell cancer, which is a little less common, and that has a capacity to spread, but not a great capacity to spread. Most of those can be just dealt with local surgical excision. And then there's melanoma. Most of the melanomas that are diagnosed are very thin and can be treated adequately with surgery and don't recur. But melanoma does have the capacity to spread. And if it spreads, then it causes problems which can be rather difficult to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll come back and talk more about melanoma on Navigating the Cancer Maze. We're going to take a break right now. Don't go away.